Welcome back to a series we're calling Rhymes with Lansing, a companion podcast project of Inspired Media, bringing you stories from where Main Street meets the Mississippi. In this special mini-series, being recorded live at The Works in downtown Lansing, start planning your trip at LansingIowa.com. Our special guest on this episode, somebody I'm excited to talk with, is a pleasure to have here sharing a early spring afternoon with me, Andrew Boddicker, Executive Director of Main Street Lansing. Thanks for being here.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It is a pleasure to have you here. It's so much fun to have a few minutes of your time. I know you from various past projects of yours. A couple things that Aaron and I have covered a little bit in past issues of Inspired and topics and really fun things. I know that you have worn a lot of hats in your life.
Yes, and that's how we make the world go around in a small place. So.
Isn't it, though? Your current title, Executive Director of Main Street Lansing, is perhaps the most important one that we're talking about today.
Yes, indeed. We're passionate about our Main Street, and that's what I do most of the time, though, again.
I love it. First and foremost, we are sitting at The Works in downtown Lansing. Lansing Office Works, as people might otherwise know it, where your office it also exists for Main Street Lansing, right?
Yeah, well, we're one of the tenants here at the co-working space, and we're proud to be here, proud of this space, Marianne, and the work that she does to bring small business and entrepreneurship to our area. Yeah. It's a really dynamic space. So.
Oh, that's excellent. It's a really beautiful space, too. It's been such a pleasure to be here and hang out here, so I really appreciate it. Andrew, let's roll back a couple years. Give us a little bit of background on your world and where you came from and how you got to Main Street in Lansing, Iowa.
I mean, we could go way back. I guess I'll start by saying I graduated from Luther College, so yes. Go Norse. Between there and Lansing, I lived in Oregon. Yeah. I lived in Illinois. I lived in London for 6 years. And on the heels of moving back from London, I wanted to return to my roots, so I came back to Iowa.
Naturally. And London to Lansing, it's kind of, I mean, it's a direct line. It makes sense to most people, I think.
I think I will not be the last, for sure. No, I came back because I never felt at home anywhere else. So I'm not from Lansing, I am from Iowa, and I wanted to start a business. And that business is called Walking Space, where I take people on long-distance rejuvenative walks in nature. And we take care of everything for you, and your goal is to just reset and go back to your core self. So I wanted that business to be located in the Driftless area. I knew Northeast Iowa really well. I didn't really want to leave Iowa, so I got as close to the border as I could here in Lansing. And we run our walks on the Root River Trail through Lanesboro and Rushford. And so Lansing was the place I landed because I got a teaching job in the district.
Yeah, so that's the background of the story is you're in education, right?
That's right. So amazing. This will be my 15th year of teaching. And elementary music is my bread and butter. I think it's just a lot of fun. So I have a lot of fun with the kids. So that was the funds behind the project. You know, we got to earn a living to run our passions sometimes.
I'm familiar with this.
So that's what I did. And I got that position in Lansing. And then my then just boyfriend at the time and I moved here. Mm-hmm. He also got a job in the district. And we set up our lives. And it was fall of 2020. Wow. It doesn't bear repeating what that year was like.
Yeah.
And it all kind of unraveled from there to now. So it'll be 4 years in August that we've lived here.
What an incredible time to land back in rural Iowa, though.
Yeah.
Surrounded by nature.
It was helpful.
Yeah.
And very stressful. Music education was probably one of the hardest ones to navigate as a teacher during COVID. So as my husband and I, Ian, soon discovered that our entire lives will be consumed by one thing after another in terms of problem solving and adjusting and accommodating all of the things that go on in teaching. But then it grew very quickly beyond the classroom into the community, doing all of the things that encompass our life.
No kidding. Oh, my goodness. So tell me when Main Street Lansing came into your life.
The first thing I did was get my business listed on the business directory, because that's what you do. As small business owners, go reach out to those resources.
Yes.
And then, I mean, again, 2020, we couldn't really do much in the community in terms of physical or tangible outcomes, but I became involved with the Economic Vitality Team. It's one of the four committees that make up every Main Street community in the country.
Yeah.
And so we were involved in that. So we, the first project I worked on was creating our tours map. So
awesome.
That was my thing. And it was very fun to make because no one's ever done it before. And it was really needed. It was really helpful to the town. And then that launched into RAGBRAI 2022.
Oh my goodness.
And Ian and I, my husband and I, were the organizers for the Lansing
yes.
effort.
Naturally.
Of course.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Put the newcomers under the bus.
The Register's annual great ride across Iowa, if people aren't paying attention to RAGBRAI. Lansing has hosted...
3 times.
Yeah.
But the first one was in the 70s, so
yeah.
It absolutely counts, but not in the same way.
Yeah, so. And I am someone who has ridden some RAGBRAI, and what an incredible place to end the ride across Iowa. The dip of the final tire at the literal end of Main Street is just so idyllic.
It's perfect. The bridge.
It's really incredible.
Bluffs, it's the best ending to RAGBRAI I think you could have.
And what an enormous task to take on in a community of 1,000 people.
I mean, I think we kind of knew it was going to be a big, but we didn't know. We really didn't know. And we also were on the heels of 2017, which was a mild success. We'll put that what it was, and a lot of learned lessons that we needed to make better.
So sure.
We took those lessons and we brought it forward. And 20 committees.
Oh my
gosh. In the end, there were about 140 volunteers. And the outcome was a really high-spirited feeling for the community.
Yeah.
And a very large bundle of money to give out to our nonprofits.
Incredible, yeah.
And schools in the city to help with projects.
What an enormous opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Super, super
we
cool.
Really took
also that. A documentary that came out of some of that, right?
That's right. Again, another unexpected wrinkle in our time in Lansing because, you don't move to rural Iowa to say, hey, I think this is the place where I'm going to make my movie debut. That is definitely not the line that's going through your mind when you go, let's live here.
Oh my goodness.
And it's also a testament to what's possible in small town.
Yeah.
Shift
is the name of the documentary, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that came out last May 2023.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So, they're good. So Shift came out. It tells the story of Lansing and Ian and I in this community in terms of the organization for RAGBRAI because it was the 50th ride, 2023.
Yeah, right.
So they're celebrating that and preparing for that release. And then it tells the story of 3 other riders and how RAGBRAI and bike riding really transforms their lives.
It's an incredibly powerful documentary. It was the opening night for the Oneota Film Festival this year. And I did not expect, I didn't know what to expect. I thought RAGBRAI, I love RAGBRAI. I'd love to see this.
Exactly.
And I went, and it is an incredibly deep and meaningful documentary. It's way beyond anything I had in my mind.
We didn't know it was going to be that way either.
I think
we were all very pleasantly moved, not surprised, but moved and excited about the story. And it's exactly right on.
Yeah.
These sorts of experiences transform you and move you to the next stage of life,
Right. So all of these experiences kind of leading up to the moment where you realize there's an opportunity that's a little bit bigger with Main Street Lansing, right?
Right. So I got involved in the former director, Andy Kelleher, had really taken the last 5 years of his time here and got the organization under a good stead and a good trajectory. And so I was excited about the opportunity. I also am not going to be a teacher next fall.
Oh, yeah.
And so I really want to take this opportunity to change careers without going back to college.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting those extra trainings that often involve a career change. So
definitely.
We are here as an executive director. I started last July, and we really hit the ground running. We've got a lot of good projects we're working on to build the capacity and build the influence that we have on the economic a picture in the community, mm-hmm. and also the livability of the space for our residents.
Another piece of that I wanted to throw out right away. So we're talking a lot about Main Street and the Main Streets organization. Now, some people might not understand. That's actually sort of a national framework, right? Well, can you just give a brief description of that so people can better understand that?
Sure. So if you're thinking kind of vertically here, we've got Main Street America, which is the super parent company, as it were, a nonprofit, and then Main Street Iowa, which is our more local chapter, and then Main Street Lansing. So there are 52 communities in Iowa, which are designated programs, and we each operate under the same sort of structure, adaptable to each community and their needs. But essentially, you have your four teams. So we have our promotions team, which is mainly around events, and then we have the organizational team, which is fundraising and like newsletter sorts of things, and then the economic vitality team, which is all about how do we bring in new businesses or diversify our businesses, retain businesses, and maybe create policy around tax abatement or things of this nature. So it's kind of your think tank. And then the last one is our design committee, which is all about beautification. So flower pots or murals or benches or anything along those lines, big and small, kind of go under the umbrella of that committee. So you have these four teams that are always working towards a goal on their own, and then across horizontally across the organization towards your strategic goals. And that is a really dynamic way to operate. And in a small community, it can be really effective in the short term than even bigger towns, because this can be anybody can.
Right.
Can be a Main Street community.
And not only you give people, you know, on a local level, a way to plug in, right? You have those different committees. You're not running for an office. You're not taking on maybe a huge board seat, but like you can be a part of it. A lot of hands, lighter work.
I think too, very importantly to understand is how important partnerships are. City of Lansing has been very supportive in our projects. They sometimes give funding, but often give permission because you need those partners. The county is the same way, and the state, of course.
And a lot of that deep knowledge, where if you're working on a topic, if you need to find something, you can also go back to the organization, whether it's the state level or the national level, and say, we need another example of this, or how can we accomplish the X, right? Whatever exactly. It is you're trying to do.
Yeah. Part of that parent organization is vital for implementing anything that you want to have done, and they also provide funding in some manners, which is great for any sort of beautification projects or facade projects for property owners or business owners. There are opportunities that are unique to just Main Street communities, so it's a really advantageous position to be in.
It's such a cool organization. Andrew Boddicker, Executive Director of Main Street Lansing, we're talking to you today on a show that we're calling Rhymes with Lansing. We're going to take just a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of those projects, some of the other things that are happening here in Lansing. Andrew, thanks for taking time out of your day to be here.
My pleasure.
We'll be right back. A little show we're calling Rhymes with Lansing in just a minute.
Rhymes with Lansing is being made possible by the generous support of the L. McKee Clayton Electric Cooperative and Dairyland Power. For more information on L. McKee Clayton Electric Cooperative, visit acrec.com. To find out more about Lansing, Iowa, where Main Street meets the Mississippi, visit lansingiowa.com. Rhymes with is a companion project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com.
Indeed, where Main Streets meet Mississippi. Gosh, that's a good line. I love that one. We are recording live at The Works in downtown Lansing, Iowa for this series of shows. A big shout out to them. Appreciate the space and being able to be here. Marianne Baldwin and company. And your home office as well. Not your home office, your actual office, Andrew.
Right? Indeed.
I love it. Lansing, Iowa, a special place in Aaron and my heart in terms of Inspired, my partner in life and business, as I like to say, happened to ask my wife to marry me on the banks of the Mississippi right here at the end of Main Street in Lansing. It's kind of a funny story. Do I understand you have a similar story?
Something we both have in common. I asked my now husband to marry me on the banks of the Mississippi, I think probably at the exact same location. So that's a nice coincidence.
We should probably do a whole show on how many others have asked the same, huh?
I'm sure we weren't the first or the last.
Interesting. I love that. Lansing's always had a fun spot in my heart. For me, I just think it's a really amazing amazing town. It's an amazing location. You know, the river is unlike anywhere else. The Mississippi River, of course, from Minneapolis to New Orleans and beyond, is an amazing body of water. But a lot of the towns along the river are just really unique. There's something special about a river town, right?
There's absolutely is, and I think it's a draw for many people. And we're really gritty community. We're very unique. I think it draws a certain type of person to live here, obviously to visit, but the people who live here there's such a variety of personality, but a variety of skill and in knowledge. We have Pulitzer Prize winners living on the river. We've got award-winning photographers. We have the people who are just ready to get down and dirty in the river and go catfishing and ice fishing. We got bushlight curling, which is the most bizarre thing you'll ever see, and I love it to death.
Say that again for people who aren't familiar.
Bushlight curling, you take a 12-pack or something of bushlight and you push it down.
30-pack.
Push it down the ice and hit a target down the way. That's how we do curling around here.
Midwest curling at its best.
Yeah. So we just have a good time, and I think that's really what the river is for, and that's why people live here and are drawn to the area, both for fun, but also spiritually. We have three Buddhist centers in the area, like in the middle of rural northeast Iowa, for some draw, because people feel the spirit here. And of course,
it's a big deal.
The history of the Native Americans and the mounds all around here is very present.
Did a show with Valerie Rinke the other day, Almaquy County Economic Development, right? And we were just talking about, you know, Effigy Mounds, of course, being just down the road, and a really unique mm-hmm. site for Iowa in Almaquy County, right? And just Iowa's only national monument of sorts, which is a really interesting thing. But the Native American history is really rich in this area. Fish Farm Mounds just up the road as well. Really, really fascinating places to take a hike, get lost, right?
That's right. And you can find something surprising around every corner. It really is that place you can get lost and you can get found all in one day.
I love it. Andrew Boddicker, Executive Director of Main Street Lansing, talking with us this afternoon. Andrew, give us a couple examples of either events or projects. Let's go events first in Lansing, right? So around the year, we already mentioned bushlight curling. We've missed that one with our very short winter season. You guys did get it done.
We did. Very
impressive. But as we get towards spring, a few other things that happens. You mentioned what's one of your like punch card programs around town, right?
Right. Well, we do this annually in the holiday season, but ultimately you have a punch card worth $100. You spend $100, you complete a card, and you get entered into a prize drawing. And last December, we had $330,000 worth returned, which is a great economic impact. We complete a card, get in for a drawing. We've got a bunch of prizes still incoming, but some really big ones that we're excited to share.
I love that.
So that'll happen in this month. And then other events throughout the year, Main Street Lansing-wise, is Taste of Lansing is the end of May. And then
tell us about that event for a second. What is that?
You businesses sign up to participate, and you walk around town, and they have some sort of nibbles, unique something to eat or drink, but mostly this is meant to be an eating tour, as it were, because there's another one that's a drinking tour later in the year. And that's it. You just kind of walk around and eat your way around town.
A chance to socialize, check out businesses you might not be in every day.
Exactly. And it's a really popular event. People absolutely love it.
Yeah, another big one in the summer that I am familiar with have been down before, of course, Fish Days.
Absolutely, for the second weekend of August, and lots going on around that time. I don't even know where to start, but the committee that runs that is generally headed by our Lions Club, who do a great job. And a lot of new events this past year. What do they call those races with those cars down the hills?
A soapbox derby.
We just brought that back this year, which is super fun. Yeah. So it was super fun.
Do you allow out-of-town contestants?
I don't see why not. Oh, come on up. Come on down.
You get an inspired soapbox car ready.
That's right.
Nothing could go wrong. Those are really fun events. And again, like, you know, I think sometimes people don't remember. I mean, Lansing's a town of 1,000 people, give or take, right? So when you have an event in a town of 1,000 people, the town comes out.
They have to, and they absolutely do. And again, that's the strength of a town like this size. I think, again, rural communities can get a little bit of a shove off sometimes, but that's also the strength of them. And when they show up, they really do, and they show up for each other individually on a small basis, but also on the big things where things matter too.
Yeah. We were also talking a little bit ago just in terms of projects that have happened in the last few years. Now, the Main Street framework gives you some opportunities that exist for towns that participate in that organization. But Lansing has really taken things by the horns and done some incredible projects, particularly in their downtown here in the last couple of years. You want to talk about some of those?
I would love to. Well, we've got, on the heels of RAGBRAI 2022, where we raised $120,000 for grants and projects around the community, that really spearheaded a bunch of things. But also, Main Street Lansing received a T-Mobile Hometown Grant for $50,000, and that was focused on the revitalization of our Main Street Plaza. It's an abandoned building footprint that was torn down in 2010. Main Street Lansing bought the property with the idea to do just what we've done with it, to make it a community space, a performing outdoor performing venue, and now home to a world-class mural.
It is a beautiful mural as well.
Stunning. We're so happy about it and how it turned out. And it's by Eric Burke. He's out of Reno, Nevada, and has done murals all over the world. And it features a peregrine falcon and a peregrine falcon effigy mound. So it really ties together the current efforts to reintroduce wildlife that have gone away and are now coming back because of local efforts from the Raptor Resource Project.
Yes.
And a recognition of what was through our Native American history here through the mounds. And it's a beautiful depiction of what is here and what is going on. And so that space is now central to our town as a gathering space.
It's truly in the middle of town. If people haven't seen it or noticed it as they've driven through town, it's just I love the idea. I love the space. I love what's been created there. But it's truly, I mean, when you talk about placemaking, it's just textbook. It's beautiful. It's really, really great.
Yep. So that from that, we branched out and we've got downtown lighting on our skylines, which was installed over the past couple of years. We're almost done with it. That really brings the town to life at night, which was a kind of a lacking idea with what we currently have in terms of our lighting downtown. And then we have an EV charging station, which is new and absolutely necessary for the future of our community. I'm sure that will add more in the future as EVs come more online. New trash cans and planter boxes, one of those things you don't often think about, but are so essential to the cleanliness and the beauty of a community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I completed a project of signing and mapping our 8 miles of trails up on Mount Hosmer, which is probably the most beautiful viewpoint on the entire Mississippi River.
I've mentioned it in a couple other shows because it is such a great spot. But Mount Hosmer, if people don't know somehow, if you haven't been there, Mount Hosmer is a beautiful park on the hill above Lansing. The cool part about Mount Hosmer is that you can drive to it. So for people who, if you have mobility issues or if you're, hiking up a giant hill isn't in your potential world, you can drive to the top of Mount Hosmer and there is a beautiful, beautiful park on top.
Correct. Hill.
However, it's also a great hike or run or walk up to Mount Hosmer or back.
Yes. And named after the original hiker, runner up the bluff.
A fantastic story.
Yeah, which I'm sure will be told on one of these podcasts.
I love it. And two amazing lookouts from the top, from halfway and from all the way up Mount Hosmer as well. Yeah. But the cool thing is a full city park on top.
That's right.
Beautiful memorial, picnic shelters,
view points. And now, while they're called the Lost Trails, and that's true, you really can't get lost on them anymore because we've recently mapped them and modeled after Decorah's trail system. To be fair, they kind of broke the barrier on that for us and led the way. So we're really happy with that result and proud of those maps and those trails.
Yeah, those trails are so much fun. There are a couple really unique spots in those trails. There's almost kind of a rock grotto area, I would call it. Almost.
Well, it was a rock quarry. So that's where a lot of these buildings are made from the rock that you'll see having been quarried out of those hillsides.
And I had been up Mount Hosmer several times, and I had no idea that was there. And a couple of little neat spots where you just come around the hillside, you see things, just viewpoints you wouldn't catch otherwise.
Yeah,
some really beautiful trails for spring and summertime, for sure, fall. So those are really amazing projects. You guys also have a bustling farmers market, right?
Right. It started 2022, and a local senior at our high school decided that was going to be his project in our innovation lab class, and off it went, and it launched, and it won a statewide award for a small placemaking activity, which is really awesome.
Super cool.
It really was about the collaboration amongst the school and the community and then the vendors, and now we have a fully functioning farmers market. We've tried it in the past, it just never took, and now it seems to have... The place is right, the time is right, and we're really excited for the season coming up.
It's a great larger moment for local food,
absolutely,
I feel like, in the upper Midwest. Everywhere, but I feel like it's, you know, the future's now.
I agree, and we are excited to support it and keep supporting it.
A couple other things I want to mention. I'm actually going to have a whole other episode on this, but we should also talk about the Driftless Visitor Center and the home of Almaquis County Conservation, right? What an amazing facility to have just outside of Lansing.
Lucky.
Just a hop and a skip down the river right there.
It is easy to forget that it's there in some ways because it's just outside of town, but my goodness, without that, it feels so lacking in terms of recognition of the beauty of this place. They do so much to honor the history of Lansing, but also the history of the geologic history of the Driftless area. And I think it is the only one really fully dedicated to that sort of history and nature recognition. I mean, there's other ones, but the Driftless area in general,
and it's
such a beautiful job.
Really beautifully done. I mean, that was another long time community project.
Very long.
When it came into fruition, it is just a stunning facility. The history pieces of it alone are so great. Mm-hmm. So much rich history here on the river, fishing, trapping, clammy, button factory, you know, the button shells, all those things, just some really cool pieces that people should not miss that.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. I love all those things. And another thing I was going to point out, and there was a piece I was looking at when I was getting ready to do these shows. I think it was a piece that was done in advance of the bridge project with the various DOT departments and things. But what it did was it kind of walked around town and looked at current wayfinding and or signage just in town and or examples that use the Black Hawk Bridge in their iconic, you know, it's a very iconic figure. And what's amazing to me, having been through Lansing hundreds, if not thousands of times, is not realizing how many places the Black Hawk Bridge appears in Lansing. It's everywhere.
Yeah, and people have it as in yard art and
right
above their doors. It's kind of like, you know, how people have their signs to their driveway. It's just on a rock. Well, we have iron Black Hawk bridges with your name underneath it. And it's that way because the founders of our town were investors in the bridge. They are owners of this bridge, and and therefore too the descendants are owners of the bridge. So it is very personal, and rightly so. And so it's no surprise that that's the way it is.
It was just a fun quirk as I started looking more and more, and I'm like, there it is.
Yeah, I guess it's a little word of Waldo of Lansing.
Right, it really is. It's a very, very fun thing. You guys are doing incredible work here at Main Street Lansing. You also, I should mention, have, again, like you mentioned, several committees, but some really incredible folks on your boards, on your committees, just doing the work of a small town in rural Iowa, right? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that look like to have people at the table like that, right?
Well, I think I'll start by repeating how unique the people here are, and they bring a diverse set of ideas, but also the willingness to share and execute those ideas. And that's what we encourage people when they come with either a complaint or concern. What's the idea? So let's make that circle full, because otherwise it just remains a concern or a complaint. So I encourage anybody who comes to my door or my email to get involved that way, because we can't change it unless we have the help. And there are many people willing to help. We have a very good volunteer set of people. We're always looking for more, so don't get me wrong. We're never at full capacity. So bring on the ideas and bring on the help. We love talking about ideas. We love working through them and trying to problem solve, because that's the only way we can get better.
Right. What a fantastic opportunity. And again, part of living in a small town, right? You That's have right. the opportunity to get involved and mm-hmm. make it what you see, right?
That's right.
Help make things happen. Okay, a couple quick things as we wrap up this show. One, there's a very exciting piece of news that I think you're allowed to let the cat out of the bag on.
That's correct. Well, Main Street Lansing and the City of Lansing were just awarded the best comprehensive placemaking activity in Iowa for 2023.
Yeah!
So all those things we mentioned early in the show, the plaza, the lights, the EV charging station, the trash cans, all these things were grouped together. Oh, and I should mention, we've got like 9 facade improvements last year in downtown Lansing. These are huge projects that private owners have brought on themselves.
That's incredible.
Supported by Alamakee County Facade Program, which was also new last year. So all of this stuff really just intersected together, and it resulted in the improvements you see in our downtown, and then therefore recognized by the state as the best comprehensive placemaking in the state for 2023. So we're really That's proud of that achievement.
Big deal.
A great big deal, and we're excited to celebrate that.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you very much.
It takes a village, literally, right?
It really does. All those things. I mean, we'd be lucky to have one of those things happen in a single year, let alone all in one.
So right?
Very lucky.
I love that. Okay, here's the way we get out of this show. I usually like to ask people this, but for you, Andrew Boddicker, Main Street Lansing Executive Director, or for you and Ian, what does, if this exists, what does the perfect day look like in Lansing? Or the perfect day off, I should say, or not? Mm.
I would say for sure it starts with a coffee down by the river and that said coffee in my hand going on a hike, either on Mount Hosmer or Mount Ida, which is the one south of town, and just spending the time outside under those beautiful trees and under the soaring eagles, which are often, if not always, flying around above our heads. And that is pretty much it. If I can get out on a big old long walk or hike with coffee in my hand, that'll do it for me. That's pretty much a perfect day.
I love that. What a great image and a great thing here in Lansing, Iowa. What a perfect way to leave it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Andrew, thanks so much for taking time out of your afternoon to be here and talk with us. Thank you for everything you're doing in Lansing, Iowa. If folks want to find out more, where should they visit?
Please visit LansingIowa.com or follow our Facebook page. Just search Lansing, Iowa. It should be the one right at the top.
Perfect. Thanks for being here. We will keep talking to you into the future and watching all the projects happen here in Lansing.
Thank you, Benji.
Andrew Boddicker, Executive Director of Main Street Lansing, has been the guest on this episode of Rhymes with Lansing, companion podcast project of Inspired Media, bringing you stories from where Main Street meets the Mississippi in this special mini-series being recorded live at The Works in downtown Lansing. Start planning your trip, LansingIowa.com. Rhymes with Lansing is being made possible by the generous support of the Alamakee Clayton Electric Cooperative and Dairyland Power. For more information, visit ACREC.com. To find out more about Lansing, as we said, LansingIowa.com. Thanks for tuning in. See you on the next one.